Hey, on today's catch-up, Kimber heads out to the streets of Perth to experience homelessness firsthand.
We try to help Matt with some songs for Hits From Your Hood, Queen's Park.
And we asked what you accidentally threw out.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Today we focused this week on Homelessness Week. It started on Monday and those stats are alarming, aren't they? 2 out of 3 people are presenting at homelessness accommodation services will be turned away. A shortage of beds and space.
That's sad.
It is really tough. And I went out on Sunday night with the Salvation Army. They do an incredible job.
Yes.
We drove around in a van around the city, stopping at the regular spots where the homeless are often staying, offering food and supplies. And, you know, although homelessness is terrible, I had such a positive experience. I was nervous about going out.
Yep.
And I, you know, it's my first time. I was nervous about it because I thought, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm going to run into. And
yeah.
Last week we said we went to the city and it was quite rough.
Yep.
And I felt a bit unsafe. And so I thought, oh, I don't know how this is going to go.
Okay.
Completely different experience to what we had that night in the city.
Mm.
They have, it's incredible. The Salvos have got this cheap shop set up at their location as well in Northbridge so that homeless can go in and try and buy some cheap groceries
Okay. And
other supplies. And we went around in the van. We offered some hot pies, drinks, blankets, toiletries. And it is incredible how far a little bit of humanity will go. Just asking a person, how would you like your coffee?
Yes.
Their face has changed.
So giving them a choice.
Giving them a choice. Do you
right.
want sugar in that?
Yeah.
Do you want a Milo? Do you want, you know, actually giving them a couple of options and asking how they'd like it.
Yes.
It seems like nothing.
Might restore a bit of dignity.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And the service has a phone number so people can actually call and say, I'm at this location. Can you please come to me and bring something?
Okay.
And what was amazing is when we get out there in the van too, many homeless people are hidden away for safety.
Yes.
They make a choice about where they're going to stay. So when the Salvos pull up, they get out of the van and they walk around the parks and they go looking to see in case people are hidden in garden beds or hidden, don't know, and check on their welfare, check that they're okay, check that their health is okay and contact, you know, health services if necessary. And I talked to a few of the homeless folks and they were so lovely and they all said that they just want to be acknowledged.
I think there's people out here, the homeless people and street people, just want to know that other people care about them too. Because it's a point where people don't care and that's all I constantly hear come out of people's mouths. And it's about walking past and, you know, you don't have to always give something, but a smile goes a long way. Or, you know, how's your day going? Or are you okay? Because a lot of them probably won't accept anything if you give it anyway, but just knowing that someone's, oh, they did notice me.
And I did notice that when we were giving out these things, we were saying, do you want toiletries? Do you want blankets? They weren't greedy.
No.
They went, no, I'll have a pie and just a water, please. Or do you want a juice? No. Do you want some fruit? No, I'm okay. Like, they don't take everything. They just, because they know that the services are to help others as well. So they only take what they need.
Right.
And it's which is very gracious.
It
and,
is.
You know, I don't think that we can say that about everybody we met in society who's got a functioning home.
Could, a lot of people would learn from that,
Yeah, and look, they mentioned to me that some guys have tried to have ended up homeless for different reasons, but some of them are there because they might have tried to support their families by doing a few cash jobs. You know, everyone does a couple of cashies now and then, might have ended up with an injury with no work compo, no legal situation, and then they've landed themselves on the streets. One woman's story really surprised me, this one.
This lady we're going to see now, Jill, she's been homeless for quite a long time. She's come in off the streets with her family, but not for long. She just chooses not to be a burden on them. And she sits on a chair and sleeps on her head on the bag every night.
Jill's probably in her 60s. I had a chat to her, a very well put together lady, very smart, very, you know, very clean and very, you know, lovely. And she said, I don't want to be a burden on my family. If I stay with my family, they can't afford to keep me and they'll be in this position.
Oh,
so she spends every night in the city sitting in a corner with her head asleep on that blanket. Like, it was just terrible. And
self-sacrificial, isn't it?
It was. The real takeout for me was how much worse we can make it by ignoring the homeless or by assuming that they're all dangerous or threatening. Homeless people are under threat. They get beaten up by people leaving nightclubs. They have terrible things happen to them. They're at risk of sickness, mental health issues, some really serious things going on there. So I just, let's all try to make a human connection and be smart. You know, if the person that you see appears to be threatening or seems to be drug affected, then sure, you know, keep walking, move away. Mm. But don't tarnish everybody with the same brush. Like, try and reach out because most of them were just so kind and sweet and just are doing it tough and they don't know how to get out of that circumstance.
Yeah. And if that's the one thing that we can achieve in this week to get that message out, and I put my hand up, I've crossed the road.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We all have.
No, but making that connection and remembering our fellow human beings and fellow Perthians, you know, deserve our connection and humanity.
Yeah, often you walk past people and you might say hello. I've said hello to people before, but I have crossed the road. And sometimes it may seem, you know, people do get fear.
Yeah.
They are worried about for their own safety, so they may just cross the road and it saves that awkward position.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't want to patronise people as well.
No, absolutely. No. Well done, Casey.
It's on us too, like, not to be ignorant about the fact that there are a lot of reasons people are on the streets. It's not what you think it is.
Sure.
So go to mix.com.au for info on all the services that we've covered this week in Homelessness Week, because they are great services and we want to encourage that.
Plenty of information there, as Casey said. Yeah, mix.com.au.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Coburn, Cannington, Melfin, Girraween, Joondalup, East Vic Park, the places between. Home is where the heart is and that's all good. Let me tell you all about it, Matt's Hits from your hood.
Less than 2 days till Matt's Hits from your hood. Less than 2 days.
Queen's Park, next stop.
Yep.
Queen's Park.
All excited about it, and we want to give you some suggestions, Matt, in case you suddenly turn around and think our songs are better. Maybe I'll work with those.
It has happened before. One of our callers gave me a choice and I went with it. Yes. And thank you for all the people who've got onto Facebook. It's been a great reaction to Queen's Park.
A lot of ideas and suggestions and memories, aren't there, coming through? But
absolutely.
You've never picked one of our songs, Matt.
Well, you know.
But it's just a bit of fun.
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Well, Kimber. Do you want to? I'll go up first. This is what I've come up with for you.
Okay, are you ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Great song.
Thank you. Saturday in Queen's Park, just around the end of July.
Hey,
Saturday in Queen's Park, Mariana in days gone by. Cottage houses built on swampland, drinking at the Caro. The kids locked in the car.
Was that beautiful?
Wow.
Oh, dead silence.
No.
God.
No, that's not fair. You told me to wait.
What are you all pretending that people never used to lock their kids in the car to go to the pub?
That was beautiful.
I didn't think it was such a cold, quite a cold
ending.
That was
cold.
It was a big ending. No, it was.
Hey, Mariah Carey, didn't you hear me clapping?
That was brilliant.
That all was right, great. Go Claire's. Come
was,
on.
That was Chicago. That was damn fine. I'm just going to do a little bit of the boss here.
Oh, yeah.
Get you into the mood. He's been to Perth a couple of times. We never thought he was going to come, but we'll do the boss for Queen's Park. What do you reckon?
Yep.
Come on. You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, so am I.
Love you,
Paul.
Yeah,
but it's Bruce, though.
Yeah, it is Bruce.
Is Bruce ready?
I don't think he's ready for this. No, I'm going to massacre it. Got a mate who sings and a girl who has a crack. Paul went out for a skateboard and he never came back. Bella's sniffing toast in my house, she's grown. I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. Everybody, let's move to Queen's Park.
Yeah.
I chose this song over Dancing in the Dark. Matt's grand played bingo, so she played her part. Everybody, let's all move to Queen's Park.
Nice.
Beautiful.
You see, I'm giving him the same amount of time before I say well done.
I won't, because I don't think it's fair to hang people out to dry like that.
What did you think, Matt?
Very good. I just wanted to yell out, love you, Paul.
Love you, Paul.
Brilliant.
Good job.
Absolutely brilliant.
All right.
Both of you. Good work.
All right, but now we have to hear from Paul, who's coming up soon, right? Paul,
oh, is it?
Well, he needs a bit more time to prep than us.
He's got a whole bloody studio going on in there.
Can we replay Kimber's Tanty? Because that was so great. I love that.
Yeah, I might have oversold it.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
This would bring tears to anyone's eyes.
Oh.
Right? This is a bloke in Oregon, the U.S. coastal state there, just above California.
Yes.
He realized at one stage, you think about when you do the old bring out your dead and you put out your hard waste out the front of your house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, your council cleanup.
Council pickup, council cleanup. There was a realization from this one bloke. All of a sudden, he realized that he'd put out a whole lot of stuff, including shoeboxes full of cash.
Oh, no.
Who is this dude?
All of his rubbish out. But this unnamed man, had put out shoeboxes, two of them were full of absolute cash into his recycling sort of drop-off point.
Oh, my God.
How much cash? I mean, you might hide the odd 20 or so. You might find it in a jacket and go, woohoo!
He forgot that there was around $22,000 inside the shoeboxes in 10s, 20s and 50s.
Ouch.
Oh, now, is this unnamed man known to local authorities as a crime boss?
That's a lot of cash to have. Yeah. He should have buried it in the backyard. But the word got around to the recyclers in the area.
I bet it did.
Even the Northern Californians were in on it, not just the Oregon recycling teams. And Humboldt County, the team went to work there in Ashland, Oregon, looking for the cash, which had made it all the way to the tip.
They've never been so enthused.
They went through the tip looking for it.
All of a sudden on Facebook, the team are going, "We found it!" And it was only $300 short of just over $22,000 he remembered having in the boxes.
And he got it all back?
He got it back.
Apart from $320 that someone taxed.
Well, the boys had bought some beers.
Yeah.
Wow, so they should. They would have had to have worked hard.
What an incredible story. You would just think, once you made that realisation, your heart would sink. Your pulse would go crazy, and then you think, oh, well, that money's gone.
It usually is. Once you lose something, I remember years ago I was at uni and I lost, back in the day of hard disks.
Oh, yes.
Before we had USB sticks.
Oh, yeah.
We used to retain all of our information on hard disk. And I had lost a lot of information, you know, always back it up because your computer always crashes.
Yeah.
And I put all of my creative writing onto these hard disks. I'm talking plays, scenes that I'd written, ideas.
Oh, what a loss to the world.
Well, look, I haven't had a creative thought since. So
you've been stifled by that.
But, you know, the whole lot, the whole box of them, I knocked off the back of my desk and straight into the bin, and I never realised I just threw them away.
Oh, really?
I just threw them away, and I was like, oh, they vanished, and realised that's the only thing, that logical explanation for it. Yeah. So
Somewhere in Landfill is the great Australian novel.
Who knows? That could have been a Pulitzer right there, and I've just blown it.
Yeah, no, funnily enough, the recycling workers at Humboldt County has found all of your work.
Yes.
And they couldn't care less.
You won the Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah, everything except the first act. For some reason, they took that.
That was a great way to start, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So sometimes you just lose stuff, you put it out, and it's almost, you know, when it's accidental, and then you go, oh, that's gone forever.
Yeah.
Throwing away that kind of cash, I mean, do people throw away jewellery by accident? Maybe.
All sorts. They'd probably throw out things of your partners that you don't realise were important. Well, give us a call.
You could knock your nose ring into the bin and never see it again.
Stop it, it might be. Everything Perth. For Brekkie,
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. How about this guy in the US coastal state of Oregon losing $22,000 inside a shoebox?
Well, throwing it out.
Yeah, a van shoebox. Yeah. He put it out in the recycling. And then the guys, the recycle workers found it. We got it. They boasted on Facebook they'd found it for him.
I bet they did.
We want to know what you've accidentally thrown out. Hendrick in Ridgewood, what have you thrown out?
Oh, look, it wasn't me. Good morning, guys. It was the wife. So, set the scene, December holidays, kids screaming, going out the next day, couldn't find the car keys, looked around for 10, 15 minutes, looked in the bin, the wheelie bin outside, and found it in the Macca's bag from the previous day.
Okay.
So, gave her the speech, you know, the keys, the house keys, the immobilizer. Will never happen again. A week later, same thing. This time, rushed out. Found it in the wheelie bin. It was on the verge, ready to go out. So.
Oh, dear. Not in the Macca's bag again, was it, Hendrick?
In the Macca's bag again.
Again?
Oh,
wow.
Repeat offender.
A repeat offender.
Wow. Yeah, that would have been easy to lose. Goodness, man.
I've banned him from Macca's.
Yes.
Thanks, Hendrick.
Well, I mean, Hendrick says it was his wife, but maybe it was him. Maybe it's known in the household as the Hendrick manoeuvre.
Might have been.
Let's go to Gosnell. Stuart, what did you accidentally throw out?
Hey guys, how you going?
Good day.
Didn't actually throw out, accidentally sold. I was going back when videos were changing over to DVDs and we had a big garage sale and had two big boxes of videos. Guy came and bought them for about $40. Wasn't until after he'd left I realised the wedding video was in there.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Your ass is...
That's great. Did he bother returning it, Stuart?
No, unfortunately. We were hoping that he might have gone through them and had a look and seen wedding video, but no, didn't. So.
Yeah, were you in a lot of trouble, Stuart?
Yes, I was.
Oh, if you're listening and you bought someone's wedding video in a garage sale many years ago, contact the station and we'll try and reunite you.
Maybe they're going, no, that's my favourite video. I'm not giving it back.
Yeah, some people love a love story.
Thanks, Stu.
No way.
Like a little rom-com.
I hope Stuart put the little sticky tape over the tab.
Oh, stop
so
it
you
being re-recorded.
Yeah, re-recorded. Yeah,
that's a blast from Pastor Hilbert. G'day, Lorraine.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What have you accidentally thrown out?
I accidentally threw out my wedding ring.
Oh.
I was doing a vacay clean in my house, and I took my ring off, and convinced that I vacuumed it up and threw the vacuum bag in the bin. When I went to look for it, I couldn't find it, and I went through the house with a fine-tooth comb and never found it.
Never.
And the worst part is, my husband had just put 10 diamonds in it for our 10th wedding anniversary.
Oh no! How's the timing?
I know. I was gutted.
Oh, that's such a shame. It's hard to get that back.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear that telltale sign as you're vacuuming when the ring's going dum 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 up the pipe?
I did hear the ching ching ching, but I didn't pay any attention to it because I was focusing on cleaning.
Oh, we always think it's just a bobby pin.
Yeah.
Anytime women are vacuuming and we hear the tink tink tink, we're like, oh, there goes another bobby pin.
Exactly. That's it.
Oh, thanks, Lorraine.
Damn that Dyson cyclonic action.
It was so damn good at setting those things up.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
What about losing something and being found by recycling workers? What if it's a box? It's a van shoe box. It's got 22 grand in it.
Oh, happened to a bloke. So many questions.
A bloke in Oregon. Great retrieval from the boys there.
Mm.
Marilyn in Mullaloo has given us a call. Marilyn, what did you accidentally throw out?
Hi, guys. Well, it wasn't mine. It was my boyfriend's stuff. He used to keep a lot of stuff in his car and I had a lot of rubbish in there. So I decided to clean it out. And there was a box in there with rubbish in it anyway.
Yeah.
So I thought, all right, I'll just put more rubbish in there. And then I spotted a magazine in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh, what's this crap, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And it was a smutty Hustler magazine.
Oh, right, yeah.
But there were a whole heap of them. So I just said, stuff it. I'm throwing all this crap out.
Oh, Marilyn, no.
Yeah. And then weeks later, he said to me, he come in really frantic.
As you would do, yeah.
Did you clean my car out the other day, didn't you? And I said, yeah, a couple of weeks ago. And he goes, oh, you threw out all my magazines. And I said, they're filthy, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he goes, they were my collectibles. He said, you know what they were? And then he said, and on top of that, you threw out my footy trophy.
Oh, Marilyn, you've broken a man's heart. His footy trophies and his Hustler magazines.
No, one trophy, though.
Oh, okay. Just one.
Oh, well, he only got the one. That's why it meant so much.
Well, he spent so much time on his Hustlers, he didn't have the energy for football.
Yeah. Thanks, Marilyn.
Good on you, Marilyn.
Oh, you Sarah. Can't throw that. That's like throwing out War and Peace.
Poor old Marilyn. You know what it's worth?
What?
Well, we're getting mad at the mood, I would imagine. Yeah.
Stop it. Sarah's in Padbury. Sarah, what did you accidentally throw out?
Hi, guys. Well, my kids, it was just before Christmas. My mum came over from the UK and we went shopping for Christmas presents. And we bought a whole heap of Lego. And when before the kids come home from school, I put these Lego boxes, about six of them, into big black bin bags and put them by the front door. And I was going to have the intention of putting them in the garage. Unfortunately, my mum saw big bin bags and put them in the bin before I realised that they were picked up by
them. Oh, no.
Heartbreaking.
I didn't even realise until Christmas Eve when I went to go find them that they were not there anymore. We had no Christmas presents.
Oh,
very lucky that Santa does a drop-off as well, but far out.
And poor mum. I was just trying to help.
And also, Lego's really expensive.
And they were because my mum doesn't see them very often, she bought like a really big kit for them.
Yeah.
And it weren't like this, a small little nothing. It was like their major gift of Christmas, so never mind.
Well, how Sarah, we hope you made it pay by having a Christmas grudge.
Good on you, Sarah.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Now this month, enjoy up to 50% of extra savings at ABC Blinds.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Skinny.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jim King missed.
Thanks, mate. That's not a skinny latte.
Mary Lou Ward.
Oh, Mazza. Okay.
Yep.
Now, just take a guess where Mary Lou might be from.
America.
She's from Louisiana. Missouri.
Very good. No, you're well, Florida, but a lot of people end up in Florida that are from all over the states. But, you know, Mary Lou, you've got to imagine her husband's name, Skeeter.
Skeeter.
And their kids are Billy Joe.
Yeah, exactly. And they're sitting on their at their home there in Florida, and Mary Lou hears a huge boom. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says that it's the biggest boom she's ever experienced.
Oh, okay.
She obviously wasn't in WA in 2010, but there you go.
Skeeter had beans?
Well, yes. Well, really? Yes. So basically, as a massive explosion, they run to the toilet where they hear the, you know, the start of the boom, and the toilet is in pieces, and they realise that a lightning strike has hit the septic tank.
Out on the patio we sit, and the humidity we breathe. We watch the lightning crack over cane fields, and laugh and think, this is our
America.
Slight modification for
Slight modification. Sorry, I meant to tell. Shall we?
I meant to produce
my fault,
that. Shelbs. Just
my fault.
Throw in America.
Yeah. I like it on the run.
Yeah, so the bloody lightning has hit the septic tank.
Yeah.
And of course, it's full of methane.
Oh, dear.
Because Skeeter likes his, you know, Burger King in the morning. And it's gone through all the pipes and blown everything to smithereens.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's lucky they still had a house.
It is lucky they still had a house.
Lucky he wasn't sitting on it at the time.
Lucky he wasn't sitting on it.
This is sounding very much like a National Lampoon's movie. Shoot his fall, Clark!
But that's what they're saying. It happened. And, you know, how frightening.
Yeah, that is.
You know,
scary.
You know, I'm doing Queen's Park this week.
You are, yeah.
Well, that was another thing that was at Nana and Pop's house. They had a septic tank.
Ooh.
And we were under strict instructions. I don't know, this is too early for this.
No, that's all right.
We were under strict instructions not to flush too often. So basically, if it was yellow, you had to let it mellow.
Yeah.
Oh, that old chestnut.
That old chestnut.
I'll tell you, people still live like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, we didn't end up like Mary Lou and Skeeter.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, that's all I've got. I've stretched this out far too long.
No, he's looking at his next burger with extra fries.
You bet.
Big slurp.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
It's your rock and roll edition of The Juice.
Oh, fantastic.
Do I look a bit more punk rock today than usual?
You do, actually, and I would only take my rock punk info from someone who wears a nose ring, particularly when that nose ring wasn't put in this morning.
No.
And for fear of the hole closing over, for want of a better term, you're now sitting here looking at me with a paperclip in your nose.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I gave myself a face mask last night and I took my nose ring out and I forgot to put it back in and I don't want the hole to close over. So Matt came up with a brilliant suggestion of putting a paperclip through and it's perfect, it looks ridiculous.
How did you sterilise it? Did you put it in hot water?
I put some hand sanitizer on it and hope for the best.
I took a photo of it, so hopefully it's up on the Facebook page.
Would it be more appropriate if some Sex Pistols was playing right now?
Yes.
Okay,
there you go.
That's way cooler.
All right, Clippy, go for it. Yeah,
Former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd is back in the news.
Right.
Not for anything political. Mm. In a video posted to the Handball Memes Facebook page, because that's a page I follow regularly.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
He casually gets a bunch of the classic Spalding high bounce competition grade handballs and he's signing them as he declares himself the global handball king.
G'day, it's Kevin Rudd here, the global handball king. Come the end of August, I'm re-entering the field. So any of you guys who are looking for a handball championship game, I'm available. Let my office know.
Wow. I mean, that enthusiasm is electric, isn't it?
You know what's funny is that at the end too, he went on for a while and then he said, look, you'll need to be very good.
Yeah.
Get ready to die.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's handball. Come on, Kev.
Kevin,
he's so 07, Kevin, isn't he?
I know. Well, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago he did play a handball game at a college and someone filmed it. He's not the global handball king.
Okay. Well, it's one of those sports, isn't it, in the Olympics when handball comes on. You go, oh, that's right, there's that game, handball. And you go, this is kind of interesting for about 2.5 minutes. And then you go, I'm done.
Happens a bit with the Olympics, doesn't it? A few sports like that. Yeah.
And guys, in reality TV, apparently Seven is developing a new reality format to rival Nine's Married at First Sight, because that always does very well.
Yep.
Casting is currently underway. They say they're looking for real people with unreal personalities.
Oh, that's new.
And a Seven source confirmed the casting call is for a concept called The Honeymoon Crashes, although that is a working title and it's currently in the brainstorm phase, because I love when they've started casting before they've even come up with the proper concept.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it's likely to be a bit of an ugly hybrid of other reality programs with relationships that are put to the test and plenty of voyeurism. And it makes me, that sounds icky to me, The Honeymoon Crashes.
Sounds untidy.
What do you think it's going to be?
People like exes and whatnot being reintroduced when people have just got married.
It will be, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it'll be. And they'll be rocking up on some beautiful island and the ex will be floating around.
Like, I've seen that. There's one called Ex on the Beach. And your ex walks out of the water. It's like a horror movie.
Oh,
almost.
See, well, Seven had some flops because they did Super Switch and Yummy Mummies and Spartan Warrior, and they never really went anywhere. So
hey.
The same show.
Some of us really enjoyed those shows.
Well, Spartan Warrior.
Yummy Mummies.
Did you want to be in that?
Well, watch this space. The honeymoon crashes.
We've set it up. So all of Kimber's ex-boyfriends are walking in now.
There's a lot.
Could we not bring all of them?
Wow.
Sorry,
it's too late.
Why are they all carrying paper clips?
There's one or two I'd rather not turn up.
Sorry.
And that's your daily juice.
We stop them at the door. You better go down.
Come on in, guys. It's fine.
it's okay.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
Matt, you okay, mate?
I need some appropriate sad music.
Oh.
Okay, we'll listen. How's that?
Oh, gee.
You know, I've had some sadness in my life. Heartbreaks, rejections. I thought the worst thing that could possibly happen to me had happened when I discovered that the full big bag of twisties wasn't actually full of twisties, but just a cheesy-smelling air. But nothing prepared me for this, my friends. Mm. AFLX has been dropped from the pre-season lead-up to the new season.
No!
It's happened. It's a sorry, Claire, to throw that on you. For those that don't remember, AFLX was the, you know, set up to be what the Big Bash was to cricket. You know, the excitement around it was truly palpable.
The glamour and the bling of the NBA, of the NFL, has come to the AFL. And haven't the boys got around it? Alex Rance turning up on a skateboard.
I mean, that kind of level of excitement, Alex Rance turning up on a skateboard.
Like a superhero.
How could it go so wrong, AFLX? And it's not just me that's upset, of course. You know, our TV footy commentators, a lot of them dream of being a wordsmith like Dennis Cometti. You know, and the great man.
Yeah.
And they used AFLX as a kind of a platform to rehearse and practice for the season.
Yep.
And the poetry of some of the commentators.
Oh, no. What are we seeing here, Jeff?
Jeez.
What?
And what about that?
Come on.
Gee whiz.
You can't be behaving like that.
Now, Kimber, I don't know if you remember, the rules were 8 players, 6 interchange, 2 times 10 halves. Goals kicked from the launch zone were worth more.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wonderful. We had teams like Rampage, Bolts, Flyers and Deadly.
Yeah.
And, of course...
Deadly.
The rock, paper, scissors was used rather than the toin cost. It was imaginative.
The toin
cost. It was bold. It was fresh. The toin cost.
Toin cost goes with the coin toss.
And, of course...
She's so upset.
You know, people say they remember where they were when Kennedy was shot.
Yeah.
Or 9/11.
Sure.
No one will forget watching the first ever live draft. It was televised and it was riveting television.
Right. Nat, over to you, the Flyers.
He's got serious too. Look, he's putting the glasses on.
Yeah.
He looked like Superman.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Clark Kent.
What's the team, the Flyers?
Fair point.
Because Pipey was one of the superhero captains.
He was.
The Flyers.
AFL, I'm disappointed. You know, Gillon McLachlan and I have come to loggerheads over a couple of things, but I think this could be the worst decision of his tenure.
Deal the deal.
Oh, wow.
And just hope producer Tom's happy with what I did.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Our spotlight this week has been on homelessness. It is Homelessness Week.
It is.
And I think the stat that we've thrown around, Kimber, you've said it a couple of times, it's 9,000 people probably slept rough last night.
In West Australia.
Yeah.
9,000 just in West Australia. Like, yeah. It's amazing.
And it's not a huge stretch of the imagination to put yourself in a position where you are not warm in bed, safe in your home, and what that would feel like.
A couple of bad breaks and a couple of bad decisions, or things that are out of your control can all of a sudden put you there. And a couple of people who've been in that predicament are joining us with their story this morning, and we really appreciate them coming in. Desiree and Drew, firstly, welcome to
Thanks, Clazy. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Drew, can I start with you? Tell us a little bit about how your experience and how you found yourself homeless.
Oh, look, you know, everyone has hurdles in their life, and mine came at a certain time and I wasn't able to deal with them. You know, when young, some people don't, they can learn behaviours and learn things that they're unable to, a lot more difficult to shed later on in life. So I think I learned things that I shouldn't have and didn't learn things that I needed to. That became a real blocker for me over the following years. Something that was very hard to shift. Through, you know, family breakdown and childhood trauma and stuff like that, I found myself homeless. It was a very tough thing to shift. After that, like I said, as a adolescent, if you learn certain things, they're very hard to unlearn later. And also as an adolescent, you have an opportunity to learn. And if you're learning the wrong things, whether it's self-inflicted, whether you're teaching yourself or whether it's through your circles or lack of or whatever, it can be a difficult thing to shift. So I found myself in that position where I didn't have the skills that I needed to didn't know how to use the skills that I needed to have to function properly in society.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And Desiree, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I looked after an ailing friend in her home. She was 97.
Right.
And she'd been in the house for 60 years with her husband, and he'd passed. And she was becoming more fragile and had Alzheimer's disease. And I looked after her for 8.5 years, then she went to God. And then I got a place to rent on my own for a couple of years and had to move that. But I've had a head injury.
Yep.
So the task of packing up and moving and everything became overwhelming to me. So I ended up in the car, and I was in the car for about 6 to 8 weeks and my health failed. So I ended up in hospital from there. And when the hospital found the Salvation Army, the beacon, the place at the beacon for me,
right,
which was an absolute godsend. It's been really beneficial for me. Yes. Yeah.
One thing we all want is hope, isn't it? Hope for the future.
That's right.
And I like your motto from life, about life, Drew, about not being able to change your past, but you engineer your future. It's about having a plan.
That's right.
And exactly. Yeah.
That's what the beacon has given me. And the Salvos has given me.
Yeah.
Absolute. It's given me the few months to get my head together and become focused on getting myself in a new rental accommodation.
And both of your stories just highlight, I guess, what one of the things we're trying to highlight with this campaign as part of Homelessness Week is that, you know, we all have really individual stories.
Yes.
And the way that the dominoes fall, whether it be through, you know, drug addiction or just life.
That's,
you know, we're all just a few steps away from finding ourselves in trouble. And
that's it.
You know,
exactly. And Lisa Harvey's comments the other week were, I mean, yeah, you can go into Perth and it can be scary. It can be full of people that might be intoxicated. But I really see it as, and I'm blessed, like I don't have as many barriers as a lot of the other souls out there. But I really see a massive failing on the in the mental health system. If you really look around and look at the people on the street, a lot of them are suffering from a lot of issues.
Clearly,
we're falling short there as a society. And it's really sad. You know, I've got friends in the Mental Health Commission. I hope they're not cross at me for saying this, but I really think we really need to look at that, to have more areas like the Salvos and the Beacon that can stand up and support people in so many different aspects of their lives, not just putting a roof over their head, but helping with their health issues, help them with counselling, support, faith, all kinds of stuff. The volunteering options that are there, that's my shirt.
Yeah, so, I noticed that, yeah.
You know, that was a really great step to be able to engage with volunteering as I came through the beacon myself.
Yeah.
Then made me start to feel like, hang on a minute, like a sense of pride, a sense of self, you know, you've done some self-achievement.
Mm.
And from there, it's able to kind of springboard you back into a position where firstly, you're able to serve and help other people. And then you say, well, I can do stuff myself. I could maybe have a job or, you know, go to uni or you know, build a life back. So, yeah, I mean, I've digressed a bit from the mental health issue there. But that holistic service option that is available, the few of the services that we have out there is brilliant. And for me, it worked a treat.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, forgive me for, you know, packaging your life like this, but, you know, you found yourself homeless as a teenager. You were homeless right up until you were 23. You had a methamphetamine addiction. Mm. You were going through this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And now through that sort of assistance and through those services, you're now completing your psychology degree at university. You're working for this Doorways program and helping others. So your life can turn around, but who are the people that you needed to really get that? Is there something that we as a community can do to help?
Look, I mean, that's a tough one. Like I said, I'm blessed that I didn't have as massive as a barrier as some do. So I was lucky in that case. I had to reach my own rock bottom for me personally.
Mm.
And I woke up, look, I'll be honest, I woke up in custody, realizing that I'd pushed everyone and everything away from me and that I was doing everything wrong and that I couldn't function on self-will anymore, that I didn't know better. So I had to say, okay, I'm just going to like have faith, follow other people's advice and other advice given to me and do things the exact opposite. From there, I was able to, as I said, I had a whole system of support from the Salvos where I had people visiting me. I had the beacon. I had some volunteer work. I had a friendship circle. I had my church and my faith involved there. So much counselling. You know, the beacon. So you have a roof over your head. Pretty much, you have all senses of your identity are gratified and are met with parts of the service, and that really helps. So yeah, I'd say, for people in that situation, reach out to the beacon, give it a try. Don't be scared. Don't worry. I know sometimes there is a bit of a misconception out there on the street that we see, Kimber, as you might have noticed on the street outreach. There is a misconception that, oh, it's too expensive. Some people say, well, that's not true. It's not at all. It's ridiculously cheap. You've got a fantastic roof over your head. You've got electricity, gas, hot water.
Yeah.
5 meals a day, counselling, support, recreation,
everything is there.
And it's
everything is there.
And you've got money left over on your benefit or whatever. So for people out there, try that. Just allow them to help you with your life. Trust them and things can change from there. They really can.
You can see why people will lack trust if they've been let down by others before. And really good, solid role models are so important in our lives, aren't they?
Yeah,
people can assist.
Yeah. And as I've said, it's a godsend because you feel safe. You know, I've been out barely 3 times since I've been there because I haven't needed to go anywhere else. Everything is provided there. It's been really beneficial just so I can collect myself and just be and be peaceful find that sense of peace within myself again. And it's been really beneficial. But homelessness, you never expect that you find yourself in this predicament.
No.
And it can happen to anybody.
Absolutely, it can.
To anybody.
And this is a question that I don't know if you guys will know the answer to, but it's something that I think when I walk around the streets and I see people in you know, fairly desperate situations and doing it very tough, and I'm thinking to myself, why are they not approaching the services? Are there enough beds there? You know, what can we do to get them? And you've sort of half answered that, haven't you, in that people don't want to reach out for their various challenges?
Various challenges. A lot of the time they might have an associate on the street who wasn't ready at the time, who might have had a Now, it's not a bad experience, but they might have deemed it as a bad experience. They might have been aggressive or intoxicated or something, overly intoxicated,
yes,
and been asked to leave. But yes, it's obviously the community is of greater need than the individual, yeah, there. So if one person's becoming violent, smashing things, threatening people, they will have to leave.
Mm.
But then that one person might go back to the community on mm-hmm. the street and say, oh, no, they're rubbish, they're blah, blah, blah. But it's not the case. They're fantastic. Yeah, you have to kind of tone it down a little bit. You can't threaten people, or you can't be too intoxicated, or preferably not at all,
yes,
whilst on the premises. Mm. But if you really, really want to change your life, then it is possible. And I think that might be the answer to your question, Matt, is I think people lose belief in themselves. Yeah. After a while, right, you start with these this self-talk, these self manifestations that are like, I'm on the street, I can't do anything, look, I'm dirty now, I smell, I'm not worthy, I'm on drugs now, mm, because of my current issues, I can't do it. And I think they need to just be propped up a bit and to believe in themselves they can do it.
I'd say that's reinforced by the fact that if we're walking past and we're not acknowledging people on the street and we're not smiling at them, we're not saying hello, then yes, you become invisible. And
absolutely,
that's further concreting those self manifestations that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
And
exactly,
then you have to be ready for it.
Sure.
Within yourself, you have to be ready for it. You can't force somebody to, because then if you do force them into some sort of a accommodation like the Beacon, anywhere, they will do something to make them get kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready. They won't. They'll do something silly to do to make them not fit in and that sort of thing. Oh, okay. So they'll be asked to leave.
It's almost like if they're half-hearted, they become self-destructive.
That's right. Self-destruction, that's the way to say it, yes. Right.
Very, very good point. Very intuitive, that was. Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I've seen it at the Beacon where some people have not been ready to be helped.
Right.
And they will do something self-destructive.
Yes.
And they have had to be asked to leave.
Mm, yeah.
And that is not the best place for that's not what the Salvation Army wants either.
No.
They want people to be helped, and that's what their aim is with the Beacon and other places.
But then
if they're not willing to accept everything.
But believe it or not, most of these services, and I won't just go on about the Salvos, but the Salvos and most of the other services are prepared for that and will be there. Yes. I mean, I went through that myself the first couple of times I went there. I wasn't ready and didn't know how to change or didn't want to change certain behaviours.
That's true.
But they were always there. They were always there waiting for me to be ready. And when I was, they just got behind you. And the support and the love they give you is amazing. So they will be there. If you've had a bad run there before, you weren't ready last time, don't think that you're written off, because they're very patient, and they'll give you another crack. And the people that work in this kind of industry are loving, as is the majority of the community, loving, caring people that want everyone to be successful. And
that's right.
I believe that too. I think most people in the community feel great sympathy for what's going on, and they just don't know how to channel that energy.
Yeah, what's it like? It must be soul-destroying when you see people deliberately cross the road when they see you. The invisibility, Kimber was talking about.
It is. It would be soul-destroying. And I would say it is, yes. Mm. But something you ask what you can do, just buy them a sandwich and a cup of coffee. That would be something, a gracious act like that is, as I say, gracious. Mm. And that's something that is really nice.
Because like Kimber identified, like just ignoring people or not, just giving them a connection, I think will really help us all. Giving us a connection, I won't remove myself from any demographic. So giving us a connection, giving us the time of day, definitely. Because like you asked, Clezzy, when someone might cross the street or whatever, it adds to that internal dialogue and you start thinking, oh, I'm a piece of crap. Like people don't want to be near me. Yeah. You know, they want to cross the road. Yep. I don't deserve this. Yeah.
A simple smile.
Yeah.
That's sometimes all you have to do.
Recognition as a fellow human right there.
That's
maybe
right.
Doing it a bit tougher. Yeah. And in any way, is there any actions that people do take that's deemed patronising if you're on the street? Or is it just that any connection's pretty much good as long as it's positive?
I think if you're authentic, my experience has been authenticity, authentic connection with different people who are sleeping rough or having a bit of a battle. they've always really received it well, you know, even if they seem pretty aggressive or whatever at the time, just saying, hey, are you all right? Well, you know, what's going on for you, mate? And it can make all the difference. It can really de-escalate a situation or make someone feel valued. And
brilliant. Yeah.
And if you don't have money to give, you can give time, you can give service, you can give a bit of support, love, referral, any kinds of things. Yep. So, you know, we're all in different stages in life, and some people might be very busy but have money and they can give money. Some of us might have a little bit more free time but not have money, so we can give service, and and all of us can give a bit of love and support. And so,
Great. To see you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Very good choice.
Yes, I'm going to give it to you from now on.
Okay.
The moment you've been waiting
for. Oh, now I'm going to do this. Push that button, do this. Okay. So
it's Captain Paul's joke of the day.
Anyway, I went to the pet store yesterday and I'm going to start up a beehive and I asked for 12 bees.
Yep.
And the bloke behind the counter counted out 13 and gave it to me. And I said, excuse me, mate. I said, you've given me one bee too many. And he goes, no, I haven't. The last one's a freebie.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.